This episode is less than 15 minutes long, and I am sharing with you how I am using a time audit to help me reach my goals. Hi, I'm Jen Larimore. I'm the host of Mom First. You are listening to a special episode series about how I am making 2023 my fittest year ever. This isn't your typical fitness podcast. I'm not a trainer. I don't run marathons. I'm just a regular working mom living in a sleepy Midwestern town who, after five kids, 20 years of desk work, and a pandemic, is ready to make 2023 my fittest year ever, mentally and physically. For me, it starts with reclaiming what it means to be fit. So I'm learning to love myself just as I am today, to nourish my body, and to give it the joyful movement that it needs today so that it will serve me for decades down the road. Imagine what it would be like to reclaim the word fit for yourself too. So come with me. Let's ditch the body shame, the toxic diet culture, and the yo-yo results, and truly make 2023 our fittest year ever. Get those earbuds, grab your yoga mat, and let's go. Welcome to this week's Fittest Year Ever episode on Mom First. I'm so glad you're here. Here's what's up, Buttercup. We are almost at the end of the first quarter of 2023. Can you believe it? This first quarter for me has been all about transitions. What's beautiful about this time for me is that I have had the chance to bring a lot of awareness to what I am doing in a lot of areas of my life. I've put some things down intentionally and I've picked up some other things. 2023 is a big year for me. There's so much happening at work, in my personal life, with this podcast, with coaching. So much so that I actually had to take a pretty big step back this quarter and evaluate what I was doing and how I was doing it. When it comes to my fittest year ever, that's looked like staying gently on track with my new way of nourishing myself, giving my body movement every day, and a lot of rest. Oh my gosh, it has been a lot of rest. I have needed a lot of rest. It is so easy for me to get caught up in the go, go, go and hustle of our culture. And I don't think I'm alone in that. It's a culture that really drives us to think that we need more when really we don't. It's a culture that drives us to think that we need to do more too, even though we don't. And pushing back on that feels like a little bit radical, a little bit revolutionary. And it's not easy to do. As I was navigating the start of this year, 2023, and all of the transitions that are happening in my life, I realized I really needed to get awareness around how I was spending my time. And so I decided to audit my time. Have you ever tried this? Basically, you write down everything you do every single day for a set amount of time. I'm doing my time audit in 1 week intervals. And I'm on my third week at this point. The results are surprising, as they always are. I've done this in the past. Every time I do it, I think I have a lot of awareness around how I'm spending my time, especially because I calendar so much. So much of my day is written down on my calendar. And so I always think I have a lot of awareness. And yet, every single time I do it, I learn something new, usually multiple things. The thing is, every week, we each have 168 hours. Now, with those hours, with that 168 hours, we can either create a human that is closer to becoming who we actually want to be, or we can create the human that we've been creating and running on default for a long time. So we can get more of the same. If you're listening to this podcast, chances are you have goals you want to reach. Chances are you're trying to create something new or different in your life, something that feels more aligned with who you want to be. And so how you use your time each week is what's going to determine what you get there. It's super important. Running a time audit is how you can assess how you are using your time from a super neutral, data-informed point of view. You can look at how you're using that 168 hours, and this exercise, for that reason, can be so powerful. I have so many takeaways right now for how I'm spending my time. Here's what I've learned so far. First, number one, I was shocked by the amount of movement I was actually getting, in a good way. I've got some really great habits around yoga and walking every day. I even have some time that is specifically devoted to fun movement like dance parties or trampoline bouncing or just running around with my kids and having some of that really fun, joyful movement. And what was so helpful and important and really exciting for me about this, validating even, if you will, is that I have been incorporating these activities over the course of the last year. I have been really trying to build this habit, and it was really cool to see how I have succeeded in that way, how I have integrated it into my day so that it's actually truly ingrained. So what's really exciting and validating to me about that is that the work that I have been doing over the course of the last year, the work that felt in some ways like maybe it's not making a difference, maybe I'm not changing anything, it's so exciting because I was actually creating and stacking habits on top of each other. And over time, it really did work and it really did change things. And it's been integrated into my life now in a way that shows up on my time audit without any really extra added effort on my part. And that's exciting. The second thing, though, that I've learned is that what does not show up on my time audit is movement that is really kind of intense, movement that makes me sweat, movement that makes me physically and emotionally uncomfortable. So big surprise, right, that that is not automatically showing up on my time audit when I'm left to my own devices. Now that I have that awareness, I'm making a more concerted effort to get in that type of exercise and movement that my body needs that might make me a little bit uncomfortable, like let's say push-ups or burpees, but nothing that beats up on my body, nothing that hurts my body, nothing that's done from a point of punishment. I know that if I want to have the body that can do all the physical things that I want my body to be able to do for the next 50 years, then I'm going to have it break a sweat once in a while. It doesn't mean it can't be fun. It doesn't mean it has to hurt. So I'm looking for ways to really get back to the gym, and I'm specifically going to do a particular class with a friend. And the best part about this class is that I'm nervous about going to it. I know that it's going to make me emotionally and physically uncomfortable, but in a good way. And doing this time audit really helped me to realize that I want to make space for that in my life. The third thing I learned in that first week that I did the time audit was related to meal planning. What I learned from doing this time audit was that I actually don't spend very much time each week planning or preparing meals or food for my family. Here's what I mean. I have one of two things for breakfast each day, and then I grab whatever I can find for lunch, either at home or at the local co-op. What that means is I actually spend and waste kind of a lot of time figuring out lunch each day. And then for dinner, I have whatever we've sort of planned or come up with and what we're eating as a family. But it's kind of disorganized. It might be whatever my husband decides to make that day. It might be whatever I can find in the freezer and kind of throw together. It might be if I decide to make something, I might have to run to the grocery store. The end result is actually that it is costing me a lot of time and effort and energy to figure those things out instead of actually spending the time to do them together in a way that would really be in accordance with my values. So those are some areas that I'm actually going to be working on as I try to live into and realize my goals around the physical movement that my body needs, that joyful movement, as well as this idea of really bringing to life, nourishing my body. So when am I going to find the time to do these things? Well, one of the really cool things about doing an audit is that it helps you to see where you are using your time really efficiently and where you are maybe not using your time in a way that really is going to live into and be in alignment with your bigger values and your bigger goals. And so you can use that time audit to determine where you have opportunities to reevaluate how you're using your time. Sometimes people call this optimizing your time, and I like that word as long as it doesn't necessarily only get pointed into productivity. But really what you're doing is you're looking at the time that you have and you're saying, okay, I don't need to spend 35 minutes driving home in the middle of the day to get my lunch or to go find lunch. I could be using that time more effectively if I had planned my lunch ahead of time and brought it with me. And so that's just a really simple kind of basic way, but that is sort of how this time audit works. And you might think you're doing that, but until you bring the awareness and collect the data and then look at the data, you may not be really optimizing your time in that way that truly aligns with your values. And so that's what is so helpful and so effective about that time audit that I'm talking about. Another thing is that when you do the time audit, you might find, like I did, that you can better optimize your time if you make faster decisions or if you stick with the plans that you had made, and so that you aren't just kind of going free flow, but you are planning a little bit more. And so that's actually a way where you can actually gather more time back into your day as a benefit of doing this time audit. And that's what's so really cool about a time audit is that it gives you that big picture view and asks how you're spending your time and is this really how you want to do it? Is it in alignment with who you want to become? Sometimes you don't need that big shift. You just need tweaks. And for me, especially as I roll out the time audit process for myself, doing 1 week at a time and really making it iterative, I am just making kind of small tweaks overall. If you want to do a time audit yourself, and I highly recommend it, here are some tips. Number one, let go of judgment. Realize that you are only going to get anything helpful out of this process if you can be honest. And the first time I did a time audit, way back in the day, I was actually so distressed by what I was finding that I completely stopped after the first or second day. Completely stopped. You have to be able to release your judgment around it and not strive for perfectionism. One thing that is helpful to me is to imagine that I'm an anthropologist or a scientist studying my life, and that I'm just here to learn and not to judge. I'm here to collect data and see what that data looks like at the end of the week, evaluate it, and make tiny changes and adjustments from there. The second tip I have for you is to pick a way of tracking that is super easy and resonates with you. Keep it simple. There are loads of apps for this if that's something that works for you and resonates you. You can also just use good old-fashioned pen and paper, which is what I did. Just pick whatever is easiest and get started. Tip number three, track as accurately as you can, but don't obsess over the details so much, especially on your first go round. You don't have to get down to the exact minute to have this to be a meaningful exercise. Perfectionism is really the enemy here because it will stop you. This is a tool. It should serve you. It shouldn't stress you out. So the fourth tip, track every single day for at least a week. But do not look at your day until the week is up and it's fully recorded. Then go back and look at how you've spent your time. Look for general categories of time. Look at sleep, movement, time with kids, time to yourself, time for work. And from there, make adjustments at a high level based on what you're seeing. Don't try to create the absolute most perfect, tight schedule ever, especially after that first week. Just use it to understand that there are parts that are maybe not ideal and in alignment with who you want to be, and make gentle tweaks from there. Because the truth is that there is no such thing as an ideal week in reality. All we can do is consider how we want to use our 168 hours each week, collect data, and then look at that data from a place of non-judgmental discernment and ask ourselves, are we using our time the way we really want to? And my final tip for you, tip number five, is repeat. This can be an iterative practice that allows you to fine-tune as you go, to make tweaks as you go. Knowing that it doesn't have to be perfect, that this isn't the only time you're going to do it, can release a lot of pressure and can also allow you to make this process a process that is more relaxed, fun, and enjoyable for yourself. One where you collect data and truly get to learn about yourself instead of just beat yourself up. If you ever want help getting started on a time study to reach your goals, send me a message on Instagram. You can find me at Mom First Coaching. I love to hear from folks. It's one of my favorite parts. It makes this work really fun and personal. So please know that you have an open invitation to connect with me. Thank you for listening to this episode. In case nobody has told you today, you are amazing just as you are right now in this moment. I see you. I believe in you. I want you to know that you matter so much. I will see you next time. Okay, my friend, thank you for checking out this episode. Hey, if you like this content and you're ready to take the work to the next level, then I want to invite you to get coached by me. I offer one-on-one coaching and group coaching too. Imagine what it would be like if you could finally enjoy this season of life that you're in and set that incredible example of fulfillment and joy for your kids. That is possible for you, and I'm here to help. All you have to do is head over to momfirstcoaching.com to find out more.